chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're still working through the Sermon on the Mount. The greatest message, the greatest sermon ever preached, if you want to make that argument, and I think it's valid, the amount of information that Jesus gave to the people is overwhelming. I mean, we've been going through this for weeks, beginning with the Beatitudes, and we're trying to break this down one little thing at a time. Can you imagine sitting there and hearing all these words at once? It would be information overload, definitely. How many have ever had that happen to them? Information overload. It happens when you read, right? You're sitting there, you're reading, and you realize you read an entire page and don't remember a single word you just read, right? No, some people don't have that. That you remember more? That's crazy. Wow, you're strange. I remember doing that. I was a young man trying to do my devotions, and I'm sitting there, come on, I got to read so much. And so I'd read, and I would spend so much time reading. I get through that chapter, and I realize I don't remember a thing I just read. So then I thought, well, I got to read it again. So I read it again, and I get to the end, and wait a minute. Oh, man, I did it again. Three times. I remember doing that. Three times in a row, I thought, what am I trying to do here? And so I gave up. Too bad, I gave up. I said, that ain't working. I'll have to come up with a new plan. And I did, actually. I quit trying to read a certain amount. For me, it didn't work. I started reading a few verses, and when it hit me, I stopped. And I meditated on what hit me. Now, that worked for me. I don't know if it works for you. But sometimes when I think about the people that had to listen to this or desired to listen to it must have been overwhelmed with all the teachings. Well, Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. That's where the Lord led me as we worked through. I realized some things we skip, some things were just flowing right to the next verse, and that's what happened this week. Verse 7 says this, "Ask, and it will be given to you." Ooh, yeah, I like that. Am I the only one that really likes that? Come on. "Ask and it'll be given. Please, 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 please." Right? "Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Let's stop right there. Let's be blessed and let's go. Right? Come on, let's just take this thing and run with it. We have this tendency to use a phrase, and I know we use it here, so I don't want to offend anybody. I'm sorry if I do. I'm not intending to do it. But let's claim this verse. I heard one. Jason, now, you just settle down. I want to encourage you, be careful with that phrase. Be careful with what you're saying and what you claim. Amen? I'll explain why that's important. If we have tunnel vision, and sometimes we do that, we could just really run with this thing. I remember hearing the story of a kid that prayed for a red bicycle and got it. And it was such a great testimony. And I'm thinking to myself as I hear this testimony, why doesn't everybody get a red bicycle? Right? I have in my office right now a magazine from a very well-known preacher on TV. You all know him. And I have it in my office for a purpose to keep and to hold because I can't hardly believe what's there. And in an article it says, if you want diamonds, pray for diamonds. If you want a Rolls Royce, pray for a Rolls Royce. If you want $1 million, pray for $1 million. Well, it says right here, come on, ask and it will be given to you. Lord, I really, really want $1 million. Come on, come on. Well, maybe it's not $1 million. Maybe I need the diamonds. And I could sell the diamonds because I don't want to have jewelry. I'm not big into that. What is Jesus trying to do here? Is he really messing with us or what? Everyone who asks receives, he says. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. And then he goes on and says this, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Right? Good stuff here. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. We know what snakes are like, right? I've seen a few. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now that's totally disconnected from what we just read. But I read it anyway, and I didn't mean to. But I'll tell you why I did that. It's because it's in the paragraph. Did you know that when these words were written, they weren't in paragraph form? Did you know they didn't have numbers? Yeah. And sometimes we connect these things and they're not necessarily supposed to be. I do think that's a standalone statement. But anyway, let's back it up to where we want to be. It says that God gives good gifts. And that's what we basically have as a title. He gives good gifts. Those who know the Lord have already experienced that. You've experienced the good gifts of God. If you know him, you know it's true. He doesn't give junk. He doesn't make junk. Amen? And I have so many opportunities throughout life to have experienced the goodness of God and how he has made beautiful things out of things that didn't intend in the original intent to be beautiful. We know that if we love him, he can take all circumstance and make it beautiful and workable and wonderful. As difficult as the challenge might be in front of us, we know he can take something that was meant for evil and make it for his good. And that's a truth that keeps on giving. Truth seekers. Those who desire to find true fulfillment in life will find what they are looking for. Here's the interesting thing. Not very many people actually want to know the truth. That's the reality. It is true. I still am baffled by one young man years ago, back when I was in my first church, who I'm sitting there and he's standing in front of me and he's explaining how he hopes God will let him into heaven because he does enough good that it probably outweighs his bad. And I've shared this recently with others. And ultimately, I explained to him that that's not the gospel message. None of us are good enough, I said. You must be forgiven. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and commit yourself to serving him. That is the only way he will let you into his heaven. And it's the only way you'll ever be in his presence. And that's the goal of all of us, is to be with him. And he basically looked at me and said, "Don't distract me with truth. I've got my mind made up." That's exactly what he said, word for word. "Don't distract me with the truth. I've got my mind made up." Well, let me tell you something. If you really do want to know truth, I believe you'll find it. You will find him if you're truly seeking him. Missionaries have gone into villages where the gospel has never been, and the chief of the tribe has met them at the entrance to their town, their village, this dirt road, and has said to the missionaries as they arrived, "Are you the ones that are coming to tell us all about God and how we can know him?" And the missionaries are blown away. They're like, "Yes, we are. How did you know?" He goes, "Well, we've been seeking the truth. We know that there is a creator. We know there is an evil because we see it all the time." They're into the witch doctor stuff and the cursing and all the curses that come with it. And he said, "We know there must be a God who created this all, and we've been praying to him. And he said he's sending someone to tell us about him." Isn't that cool? Would it be that all people would seek truth? Because they will find him. They will send you. And you're going to go up to somebody, a complete stranger, and say, I believe the Lord has sent me to tell you about Jesus. Finally, someone's come. He said you would be coming. Isn't that awesome? People need to be truth seekers. I believe if you seek truth, you'll find. And that's what Jesus promised. If you want to know truth, you will find it. God will meet your needs. You can put your hope and your faith in him. He gives good gifts. And yet we know that there's suffering in the world. How does this play out? How is it possible that we can say, "Ask and you will find," or "Seek and you will find"? Ask and you will be given. knock and the door will be open. How does this work? Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I think this is a foundational place to begin. James 4, 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Now granted, this is speaking to the people here. This is not about you. It might be, someone says. Well, let's thank the Lord that as far as I can tell, it's not happening. Isn't that cool? So there's quarrels going on here. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Verse 2. You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. And then it says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. So there's problems in the body, problems in the church, quarrels and fights, disputes. Everybody wants something, nobody's getting anything, and it's really creating a problem. And then he says, after all of that discussion, you don't have because you're not asking God. Basically, they're trying to deal with it on their own, apparently. But then he says in this, verse 3, when you do ask, or when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Pray for diamonds, you get diamonds. Pray for $1 million, you get $1 million. Pray for, really, do you need the Rolls Royce? Do you really? Come on, let's rethink this idea, this concept about anything you ask, God just gives. There's got to be an answer to this conflict, this thought, this idea. There is an answer. And we're going to work through it together. Obviously, here we have two things that stand out. First of all, you need to ask God. Right? All of you who struggle with the pride issue, like I do and many others, just stop it. Recognize you can't do it on your own. Amen. Recognize that you are not good enough, you are not able, you cannot do all and in all. You must find help with Him. God wants to help you. Hallelujah. He gives good gifts to His children. If you need some bread, pray and ask God and He will give it to you. He's not going to turn around and give you a rock. And this, of course, we want to interpret that as a diamond. No, I can't just let that one go. It's so funny. It's like, wow, really? You preach that? How do you manage to stay on TV? Because I'm pretty sure not everybody's getting diamonds, right? Sorry, I got to get off that one. Let me tell you something about faith and doctrine and truth. If it doesn't work in a third world country, you better change your doctrine. Just let it sink in. If it doesn't work there, why do you think it's going to work here? You might have an Americanized version of faith. You may want to check that. So you don't ask because of pride or whatever it is. I've been there. Lord, I got this massive headache. I don't want to pray about it. Who cares? It's just a headache, right? And yet, God convicted me of it and forced me almost. He didn't really force me. I was willing finally. But I basically went forward for prayer, and God healed me of my headache. Why? It's just a dumb headache. Who really cares? Well, God does. He's like, hey, can I bless you? No, I'm good. But I really want to. No, it's silly, Lord. I don't want to bother you. You're so busy. I've heard that. Have you ever said that? Well, He's so busy, He doesn't need to worry about me. He can handle it. It's okay to ask God for help. It's okay to go forward for prayer for something that you think is small. And it's also okay to go forward for prayer that's something that's gigantic and enormous. He can handle it. So if you're not getting something that you should have, through the blessings of God, it might just be as simple as you gotta ask. Or maybe you're asking, but you're asking with the wrong motives. And that's very common. and God will not answer that prayer. What is your motive for this? That needs to be checked through the Spirit of the Lord. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to kind of narrow this down a little bit. Try and get the gist and the understanding of what Jesus was saying back in Matthew 7 and apply it in this context. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and also verse 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. What is that? That's prayer. That's praying for things that you need in life or whatever, wisdom, guidance, bread, fish. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Okay, now we're getting a little bit more detail here. Asking according to His will, He will hear us when we pray. How should we pray, Lord? Jesus taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. We went through a series on it, and you remember it, right? Hopefully. We want to pray the Lord's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying to our Father. We're praying in a submissive role. We are the servant. He's Father God. We're the child. And we're looking to Him. We want His will done in our life. If you want to see the miraculous, if you want to see the provisions, if you want to see the blessings, you need to come to Him with the confidence to know He cares, He gives good gifts, and by the way, He has a plan. And if you can pray according to His plan, according to His will, you are going to see it happen. And that's what we're hearing here. He hears you when you pray according to His will. And if we know that He hears us, it says in verse 15, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. God was getting after me because I was refusing to let Him bless me. I'm sitting there in the pew. They're calling for the prayer time. Go forward and pray for your headache. And I'm like, well, that's just silly. It's not a big deal. I can sit here. I can handle it. It's not that big, important thing. And God convicted me of my pride and my stubbornness, which I still have stubbornness, by the way. I try to kill that pride. Stubbornness, that one's tough. But sometimes stubbornness can be good, right? And finally, I said, fine, I'll go forward. And I got up there, I got prayed over, and I wasn't into it. I wasn't, oh, Lord bless me. I was like, okay, thanks. And went and sat down. I mean, it was so wonderful. And I sat there in my pew, and halfway through the sermon, I realized my headache was gone. What happened? I heard the will of God. I prayed the will of God, and the will of God was accomplished in my life. It's so simple. You can actually see the miraculous. You can see the bread. You can see the fish. You can see the healing. You can see everything beyond your biggest comprehensions. When you hear the voice of God and you pray the voice of God, you will see the miraculous from God. But we cannot simply just put a rubber stamp in Jesus' name and boom, there it is. There's more to it, and Jesus didn't go into great detail, but later on when we put it together, we see we must be careful with how we pray. You pray according to His will, and He hears you. And if you pray what you hear from Him as you pray His will, you're going to see the miraculous. In Jesus' name is a synonymous statement of the Father's will be done. Let me show you. John chapter 14. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Did you know that God does not divide Himself against Himself? It seems so simple, and yet we often think that if we just put Jesus' name on it, the Father will do what we ask. Doesn't work that way. John chapter 14. Verse 9 through 11. Helps if I'm in the right book. Luke's got some good stuff to say, but not right now. Sorry, Luke. John 14, I'm there now. Verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." In other words, when Jesus speaks, you're hearing the Father. He only says what is coming from Father God. They are one. They're not separated. They are together. They are one. It's hard to comprehend God. He is one who has expressed himself in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here we have Jesus trying to explain to the guys, hey, you don't have to see the Father as you're thinking. You're actually seeing him right now, because we are one. Everything I say is from the Father. Verse 11 says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." What does that mean? It means the Father and the Son are one. My will is his will. You pray in my name, you're praying the Father's will be done, just like I taught you in the Lord's Prayer. Turn with me to John 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer: "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Verse 30 of that same chapter. "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me, the Father." John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." The Father will give you whatever you ask. Ask and you will get what you ask for. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened. But it's contingent upon something. You need to ask God, for one thing. You need to ask without the evil, deceitful flesh involved. You need to pray and approach God according to his will so that he can hear you. You need to pray in Jesus' name, which is, "The Father's will be done." You know, the greatest challenge in seeing miracles happen in the church is not having faith to pray over someone who's sick. That doesn't take any faith at all. You might call it something that's related to faith, but that's not faith. That might be a hope and a prayer, as the expression goes. But when you pray with great faith, it's because you've heard from God. The greatest challenge in prayer is finding where God stands. Let me ask you this. Before you pray, do you ask God what he wants to do? Let me ask you this. Why not? You want to see miracles? Ask him what he wants to do. And then pray it so. Prayed for a lady. She needed her third kidney. I think I've shared this here before. I've shared it often because it's the greatest experience of prayer I've ever had. It will never be topped. I'm doing a pastoral prayer in my first church. I'm trying to be very pastoral. I'm 26 years old, maybe 27. Kind of green, little inexperienced. But I've got faith. I know God is good. He gives good gifts. And I begin my pastoral prayer in the hospital as Mert's laying there, and she needs that kidney or she's going to die, and Doug, her husband, sitting next to her. And I begin my prayer, Father God, or Dear Heavenly Father, I think that's the phrase I used at the time. And he says, I'm taking her home. Well, this is awkward. True story. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm taking her home. I stopped. I'm like, now what do I do? In my heart, in my mind, I'm completely at my wit's end. What do I do now? God just told me I'm taking her home. I can't pray what I was just going to pray. I cannot pray for her healing because I will be speaking in disobedience. I will be praying against the will of God. And I stopped my prayer, and I looked like a total heel. I looked like a buffoon, if you will. I'm sitting there dumbfounded because I don't know what else to do. And I looked up at Mert, and Mert realized something's wrong, and she's looking at me. Because my pastoral prayer just went, eech! And I looked at Mert and I said, Mert, if God chooses to take you home, are you ready? And she looked at me and she smiled and a tear went down her face. And she goes, oh, Pastor, I'm so ready to go home. I just want to be with the Lord. And I looked at Doug and I said, Doug, if God decides to take Mert home, are you prepared to accept that? And he's looking at me and he looks down and he looked down for a very long time. At least it seemed like it. And he finally looked up at me and tears are in his eyes and he said, Pastor, I won't like it. I won't like it. But if that's what God wants to do, I'm willing to accept it. And so I had to pray a prayer that was the first time I've ever done it. I said, God, if it's your will to take Mert home, please take her peacefully. I got home after that visit. I walked in the door and Tina met me there. And she goes, Kevin, I think Mert's going to go home to be with the Lord. I've been praying and God told me. I said, I know. The phone rang within minutes after I walked in the door. Maybe it was right before. I get the mix up there. My memory sometimes gets a little muddled. But Sherry from our church called, and she said, I believe Mert's going to go home to be with the Lord. In my devotion time as I prayed, he told me she's going to go home. So over and over and over, it was confirmed, God is going to take her home. I could have been the good pastor and said, Lord God, please heal her so she doesn't need this kidney and she'll be saved and live with us for many, many years. And yet that would have been absolutely wrong because he had already decided it's time. That's hard. But I heard from God and she died less than 2 weeks later. Peacefully in her sleep. I was in a service in that same church, and as someone stood up and they prayed for somebody, they said, so-and-so is dying of cancer, and she's got less than 5 days to live. They say maybe only three. And as he shared it, God says, I'm going to heal her. I'm standing there. I don't know this woman. Her last name happened to be Peterson, which was cool because it's my name. Although it was spelled different. Never met her. I've heard about her, but I didn't know her. And God said, I'm going to heal her. And I said, okay. And I prayed, Lord God, thank you for telling me that you're going to heal her and that she's going to rise up from this and will be cancer free. And I prayed for her cancer to be removed. And I prayed with faith because I knew he said it. I got a call 3 days later that she just got let out of the hospital, cancer free. They don't know what's wrong. They think maybe they messed up with the x-rays. I just laughed. I said, yeah, whatever. We all know what happened. I didn't go over to her place. I never met her, saw her later, but God healed her. Why? Because he had a plan and he wanted to heal her. He spoke and I heard and I prayed his will be done and it was done. Now, I can share story after story after story of this, and you probably can too, but the problem is we often don't even ask him what he wants to do. And we call ourselves Christians. We say we have faith, and yet we never ask him what he wants. I say have the faith to ask. You think it's great faith to pray. I say it's great faith to believe that he has a plan and find what his plan is. When my Uncle Mike passed away, it was devastating to the family. District youth director, loved greatly. Some of you knew him. It took years for my dad to get over that. And he'll tell you. If you ask him, of course, maybe don't ask him. It's a painful memory. Didn't understand. Why? Why did that have to happen? I don't know. But I know when I was at Trinity Bible College in the big auditorium at the chapel and I was praying, I got word that my uncle was going to die. I grieved and I let him go right there on the spot because I knew he'd be gone before I got there. God told me he would be. He passed away less than 5 minutes before I walked in the room. He was in Bismarck. I didn't hurt the way some people hurt when Mike passed. Because God gave me the understanding and the confidence to know it was his plan. And I have to trust him with the hard things along with the good things. I don't have time to go into every detail of this message. I have so much more to share. And I look at that clock and I said, nah, Lord, lead this, please. There's a reason why we're standing here and going through this together. We have been given some bad instructions by pastors and ministers all across the land. You know that there's this challenge of the name it and the claim it movement. It is wrong. You cannot leverage God. Don't you dare try. If you want to leverage somebody, leverage yourself. Leverage yourself with his word. Leverage yourself with his will. Understand and know that you are the submissive one. You are the subordinate. You are the one that is the servant to him, not the other way around. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the creator of all things. And if he wants to heal, and as you pray, you ask God, God, what do you want to do here? And God says, I want to heal them. You come out with all guns blazing. You're like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. This person's going to be healed. He told me so. I know it in my spirit. And you see the miracles happen. But too often we just jump out there and we hope that maybe God will hear us. We hope that maybe he'll heal. We hope that maybe we'll get the bread instead of the rock. And that's not the way we're supposed to pray at all. Where did that come from? Well, it came from bad teaching. Just pray in Jesus' name and he'll give it to you. Well, no, it's not that simple. You have to pray according to his will. If you don't pray his will, he can't even hear you. If you seek him, if we want to move on, and I'm just going to real quickly make this happen, you will find him. Write these down. You can look them up. I don't want to take the time right now, but Deuteronomy 4:29 says, if you seek him with all your heart and your soul, you will find him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, verse 6. No one can come to the Father except through me. Let me tell you something. I say it often, but let me say it again. Your goal should not be to go to heaven. If that's your goal, you've got a teeny weeny goal. I could care less about heaven. All I want to know is I'm in God's presence. Heaven is not that big a deal. God is. I want to see him face to face. Whatever heaven is, and I can't even tell you what it's like because I haven't been there except in a vision. And it was really narrow and tunneled. But let me tell you, heaven is not all that great if God's not there. I want to be in his presence. I want to see him face to face. I want to know him the way he can be known. Right now, I barely can understand who I know. I mean, it's like we've said in the scriptures, this glass that's dark, it's faded, it's kind of marred. It's like that commercial about that stuff you take so your allergies don't bother you and you can see clearly now. It's like, woo, you take the blinders off and wow. Do you realize if you saw God in his full glory right now, you'd die? You couldn't take it? John, his good buddy, Jesus' good buddy, he fell down and passed out as if he were dead when Jesus showed up in Revelation chapter 1. And Jesus had to really kind of help him out there. It's not heaven that's the goal. It's the relationship with the Father that you should have. And Jesus is the way to him. And if you want to know God, you need to go through the blood of Christ. You need to go through the Savior of the world. He is one with the Father. Seek him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and you will get the bread. You will get the fish. You will get the clothes. You will be provided for, according to Matthew 6:33, which we already covered. Psalm 105, verse 3 through 5, it says, the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek his face always, I say. That should be your goal. If you're seeking him, your prayers will find his will. What does God want to do? You know, the greatest challenge in faith is riding the wave that God brings. I got a cousin who married a professional surfer, and it's pretty cool. He's an animal out there. The guy is amazing. You can look him up someday if you want. Noah Snyder. Look him up. He's an amazing surfer. That was what he did for many, many years as a living. But anyway, you see this surfer riding the wave, right? Totally out of my realm. I'm a farm kid. Well, the surfer didn't make the wave. He's just riding it. We need to ride the waves of God's blessings, the waves of his mercies, the waves of his provisions and ministries. We don't make the waves. We simply find them and ride them. And that's how you pray the will of God is accomplished in your life. Seek him and you will find him. Seek the Lord while he may be found, Isaiah 55:6 says. Seek the Lord while he may be found, while he is near, and that time is now. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. There's a lot of ifs in that. My people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from wickedness. Now I hear you. Where have you been? Knock, and the door will be open to you. Let me tell you what that is as we close. Knocking and walking through the door is all about relationship. In Revelation 3, Jesus says that he's standing at the door and knocking. If you'll just open up the door, I'll come in and sup with you. I'll come in and have fellowship with you. I'll come in and we'll sit down and eat together. That's pretty cool. We all like food, right? It's fellowship. It's relationship. Jesus says, knock, and I will open the door for you. Come in and fellowship with me. But here's the deal. You got to walk through the door. Action must take place. God gives good gifts to his children. Ask, and it will be given to you. Understand and know that as you ask, you're praying and asking in Jesus' name. Understanding and knowing that as you ask in Jesus' name, Jesus only does what the Father does. Only says what the Father says. You are asking the will of the Father be done in your life. And if you can ask in such a way, you will see the blessings of God pour out. And if you seek Him, you will find Him. If you're seeking pleasure, if you're seeking your own good, if you're seeking only for yourself with the wrong motives, give it up. You're not going to find Him there. But if you're seeking Him, you will find Him. Hallelujah. And as you knock on that door of the relationship with God, He will open that door for you, and He will fellowship with you as only He can. The Father wants to give you good gifts. Hallelujah. He desires to give you the bread. He desires to give you the fish. But there are strings. Bad doctrine has hurt us over the years. Bad theology even. But I challenge you when you pray, don't say a word until you first ask Him what He wants. And I get it. He doesn't always give me an audible answer or an answer in my heart, but sometimes a good friend that's with me might help me in that area. They'll say, hey, the Lord's telling me this for you. It helps and it's wonderful. And sometimes we just have to pray blindly. We haven't really heard from God. And we're just like, Lord, I don't know what you want to do here, but I'm just praying your will done. Here's my wants. Here's my desire. I want to see this person healed, or I want to see this provision brought forth. I want to see that happen. But Lord, your will be done. And someone will say, well, that's just not great faith. Really? Really, you're going to say that. I think it takes greater faith to trust God to do it His way than for me to tell Him to do it my way. Come on, let's be faith warriors. Let's pray the will of God. Let's trust Him with His plan. Let's submit ourselves to His will and see what He can do. And I believe we're going to see the miraculous. Would you stand with me as we close? And remember,